Number 10.
Luke chapter number 10, the Lord's been kind of working in my heart a little bit about this certain thought. It's been actually for a number of weeks. I've been trying to pray about the best way to present it or the best way to the sermon to make it work together. And so we're going to actually be talking about something similar in the Sunday morning and Sunday night. There's a lot of different things in here that I think would be good and important. And I think the best way to put it is how to be Christ-like in your relationships. And it's being, I know it's a way that many of you might recognize as being the bigger person. For the last 4 to 6 weeks, God's been working on my heart about different Bible characters that took what many people would consider the high road. And think about it. When Abraham and Lot were having a problem, Abraham said this to Lot. And Abraham said unto Lot, "Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen." And then he makes this phrase, "For we be brethren." He says, look, I don't want any type of strife between me and between you. He says, and most of you know how the story goes along, he goes and he shows Lot all the land. He says, look, you choose one way, I'll choose another way. What many people don't remember is that Abraham was the reason why Lot was wealthy to begin with. Abraham was the elder one. Abraham was the leader of the group. If anybody should have been letting them pick, it should have been Abraham. And Abraham could have done that. Abraham could have just thrown Lot aside. Or Abraham could have told Lot, hey, just remember, I'm the reason why you're this or that. But instead, he chose to take a higher road for testimony's sake and for the relationship's sake. And then I began thinking about, there's a lot of different Bible characters. I like the story of Joseph. And the story of Joseph and his brothers there are thinking, after their father died, Joseph's going to get even with us. And Joseph said these words, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as you, ye thought it evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring it to pass, as it is this day to save much people alive." So there, their brothers had already, they injured Joseph. They threw him in a pit. They sold him to slavery. All those different things. And in their mind, okay, Joseph's going to get equal once dad's gone. But he says, no. There's something more important in this world than getting even. There's something more important in this world than having my rights. There's a testimony. There's a call of God on our life. And I thought about Ruth. You think about the story of Ruth. You ever been around somebody that's bitter? That's not the easiest thing to do. Ruth comes back with Naomi. Naomi tries to send her home and tries to send her home a couple times. And she decides, no, where you're at, that's where going to be. Your God's going to be my God. And then Naomi comes back into town. They're all excited. They say, hey, is this Naomi? And she says, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty have dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. And Naomi's there, and Naomi's like, look, I'm empty, but, you know, Ruth's saying it right there to her. I mean, she wasn't empty. Ruth was there, and yes, she left with her husband, left with the two boys, but she was not seeing what God had provided. And what does Ruth do? Ruth is such a blessing to Naomi. Ruth goes out still day after day trying to find food for her and Naomi. Naomi's bitter. And Ruth could have said, forget you. I'm going back home. But she doesn't. And I think this is what Paul was speaking to when he's talking to Philemon and saying about Onesimus, is if he owe you anything, put that on my account. I think about Stephen, how he kneeled down as he was being stoned and says, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Over and over, you see Bible characters that say, you know what? There's something more important in this world than just my rights. There's something more important in this world than me just getting my way. There's something more important in this world than me holding on to some bitterness. And the scripture says, be ye kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, now listen for this, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. The principle that he's saying here, that God forgives us for Christ's sake because of what Christ did on the cross. And we ourselves are supposed to be people that demonstrate kindness and forgiveness just like God does because of what Christ has done for us. And I began thinking, you know, how do we apply this? Because in the Bible, there's so many people. And in our Christian lives, we want to be Christ-like. And you see, the person that probably is the greatest example is found in the story of what Jesus Christ did. Did nothing wrong, never sinned, but died for the sins of mankind. And here in Luke chapter number 10, there's a guy asking Jesus a question. And it's probably a very familiar parable. It's called the parable of the Good Samaritan. And in this story, Jesus teaches this man a question and teaches him something that's really important and something I think we can learn from and grow from. Philippians 2, verse 3, puts it this way. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. I think about characters, and just ones come to my mind all the time. I think about David's kindness to Mephibosheth. And you just go and you see how people treated other people with kindness when they didn't have to. And you know what they saw? They saw Christ. And if they're ever going to see Christ in us, if we're ever going to make the difference that God wants us to in this world, we need to have to learn something that's an important truth, is that what the scripture says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. People ask questions sometimes. They have actions at other times. And the only reason why is because they want strife. There are people out there that love drama. If you don't believe it, just go to Facebook and you just look at some of those discussions and they go on for page after page after page. And I'm thinking somebody's got too much time on their hand, page after page. And there are people who just on purpose try to have drama. And in the day and time that we live in today, there are people out there that are drama filled and they're asking questions, but the question isn't because they're looking for truth or for the answers. They're trying to trap people. And you're going to see here in the story today, this lawyer. I know what you're thinking. Lawyers, ugh, there's a lot of good lawyers out there. Don't be too hard on them. But this lawyer, which is different than what we would think in a judicial sense, this is a lawyer would be someone who was be with the who interpreted the Old Testament. It would be someone who would discuss the Old Testament and be a person that's an expert in the law. Many times these would be scribes also. And this lawyer asked Jesus a question. Now let's pick up here and Luke chapter number 10, and let's consider this, who is my neighbor? Luke chapter number 10, it says in verse number 25, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, now they call him Master, they really didn't respect him like Master, but they would do that just to get his attention and make themselves look good. That's a shame. Sometimes we try to make ourselves look good just so we can get our own point across. And he says, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Hey, that's a great question. It's actually probably the most important question that's ever been asked. But why did he ask that? You see here what it said, and tempted him. That word tempted means that he was not asking because he wanted to find the answer out. He wanted to strongly test Christ. Not to see whether or not he knew the answer. What he wanted to do is Christ to say something that was wrong, that Jesus would say something that was off the cuff or against the law so he could accuse him. So he could trap him, so he could make him look bad in front of all these people. But like we learned about on Wednesday night, God knows exactly what to say. And when God knows exactly what to say, that's what Jesus, he knows exactly what to say. He kind of puts him on the witness stand instead. And he says in verse number 26, he said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? So Jesus says, hey, look, so what does the law say? And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. Now, this is kind of interesting, because this is before when Christ would die on the cross. You know, most of us would say, hey, how do I inherit eternal life? How do I get saved? How do I know I'm going to heaven? You know, that's not the response we would say. But that's the response this man needed to hear. See, this man was trying to live by the law, and he's reminding him of this. He points him back to the law to show him something. Show him that you're not going to make it on your own. That's the whole reason why Jesus had to come to this world. It says in Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no man be justified. So Jesus is saying, hey, look, what do you read? He says, look, you got to love the Lord your God. And as it says here, love the Lord your God with all your heart. And then he continues on, with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself. He's saying this here, and he says, yeah, that's what you got to do. Now, can you do that? The answer is no. No one can do that. But this man, probably in his own mind, was justifying himself. This man in his own mind was thinking, hey, this is all we have. We got to live by the law. We got to do the best we can. And if we do enough right, you know what's going to happen? We're going to go to heaven. And that's a lie. Continue on. Look what it says in verse number 29. It says, but he willingly to justify himself. Now, that word justify, it gives the idea and the understanding. Justify means that to make one innocent. He's talking to Jesus and he says, look, I want to justify myself. So he said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And so this is one of those great questions of the Bible. Well, who is my neighbor? And he's not asking, once again, to find out the information. He's not looking for truth. Instead, you know what he's doing? He's trying to trap Jesus, and then he's trying to make himself look good in front of anybody. And he says, well, yes, I'm supposed to love the Lord God with all my heart, all my soul, all my strength. But, you know, who is my neighbor? And then Jesus tells what many people, if you even go and read secular people, say one of the greatest literature things that was ever written. And he says here in the story of the Good Samaritan, and Jesus answered, said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. I believe you can say that this is a picture of even the world. What the devil has done with those that do not know Christ, half dead. Are they're going to die and go to hell? Are they going to live and go to Christ? And here it says, and by chance, there came down a certain priest. I know many of you are familiar with the story, but if you're hearing it for the first time, there's a man that was robbed and he's left there half dead. And there's a priest that comes by. Now, the priest is the one that did the sacrifices. The priest was the one that was standing between God and man. The priest was the one that the people would bring the sacrifices to. If there was anyone who would help, if there was anyone that would be willing to be a servant and think highly of others and be able to esteem others better than themselves, you know, it should be this guy. Let's see what the story goes along. And he says, and by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So he sees the guy and he doesn't want to be bothered. He doesn't want to influence anybody. He doesn't want to help. So instead he ignores the guy and goes by on the other side. And then it continues on. It says, but in verse 32, and likewise a Levite. Now, a Levite, once again, is someone who is supposed to be spiritual, supposed to be of a certain special tribe that has special privileges. When he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. You got a picture of this man who's just been robbed and he's there and he's lying, he's bleeding, he's maybe half conscious, maybe unconscious, and he's there and they go over and he's interested enough to see, oh, but he keeps on walking. So Jesus, remember what the question was. The leader that day was saying, well, who is my neighbor? And Jesus is telling him in response to that question, well, who are you being a neighbor to? Let's keep on going. Verse number 33, but a certain Samaritan. Now, of the three, those that would have been interested in helping this man, the Samaritan would have been the least. See, the Samaritans and the Jews, they did not get along. And they have a history of hating one another. But the Samaritan said, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. So what the scriptures are saying, and Jesus is trying to tell this man, okay, now the priest, which there's probably priests sitting there, even the scribe or this lawyer would have been friends with him. The Levite, someone else who else should have been close to God and that spiritual tribe. And now there's a Samaritan. He's coming. And when you can imagine, when he says the word Samaritan, the lawyer's eyes probably got bigger. Oh, wow, he's using a Samaritan in this story. And it says, and he went to him, and he bound up his wounds, and pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and he took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. So this man who helps this man, not only does he bind up his wounds, and not only does he put him on his own beast and walks himself, and he takes him to this place where he can lodge and pays for it, but says, hey, look, you take care of him, and I'll even pay you more if I need to. Then Jesus turns and asks another question in verse 36. Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? So he asked the question once again to the lawyer after telling this story, saying, hey, look, the priest wasn't willing to help. The Levite wasn't willing to help, which is probably a story there that the people, the common people would understand because of the way the religious leaders treated them. But also it's a story that when the Samaritans were all involved, he's like, wow, that's not going to make anybody happy. And then he says to him, he doesn't say which one is their neighbor, but he says, was neighbor unto him. Which one of them treated the other with mercy? And it says in verse 37, he said unto him, he that showeth mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. So he looks at the lawyer, he says, now, if you're really truly going to fulfill this law and love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, now go and do that likewise. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we're excited about what you can do in our hearts. Lord, I pray that we're seeking for truth. We need truth. Lord, we need to live by truth. This lawyer did not have the truth, wasn't seeking the truth, but instead wanted to do harm to the cause of Christ, do harm to Christ's testimony. But thankfully, we know that God knows exactly what to say and knows exactly what that lawyer needs. And Lord tells them that and gives them the way and opportunity to get right. Lord, I pray that as we hear this message, you speak to our hearts about being people that will be kind and tenderhearted, being people that won't just walk by those that have a need, not just look at those that have a need and pass by the other side, but instead see the example of what Jesus Christ was willing to do for us and the compassion he demonstrated to us. And Lord, that we will go and do likewise. Lord, if there's someone here today that doesn't know you as personal Savior, Lord, we pray they come to a saving knowledge of you through the preaching and teaching of your word and by the testimony of those that are like Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Three different things I want you to think about. The first thing is the reason for the question. The reason for the question. This is really an important part. Now, we want to get to the story because the story is interesting and the story has great application for so many. But the reason for the question, the lawyer isn't interested in the truth. Did you know that same question was asked more than once in the Bible? Did you know later on, the rich young ruler asked the same question? The rich young ruler came to Jesus and he said to him, he says, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, well, you need this, this, and this. And he says, I've done that since my youth. And then Jesus says, there's one thing that you're missing and then you'll be perfect and you'll be able to have eternal life. And he says, go sell all that you have and give to the poor. And what he was doing is he's pointing him back to the law and saying, you know what? You can't do this. You're not going to be able to live the perfect life. Only Jesus himself was able to live the perfect life. And the same thing with this lawyer. I believe the rich young ruler was sincere, but the rich young ruler went away sad because he wasn't willing to give his heart over to the Lord. And the same thing, this man, this lawyer, he wants to tempt Jesus. He wants to trap Jesus. He wants to bring harm to Jesus. He wants to make Jesus look bad. And he asks us, and it's an important question. And he says, Master, what should I do to inherit eternal life? And it's a question that should be asked throughout the ages because in this world, we may be here 60, 70, 80 years, 100 years, but eternal life means forever. And what the scriptures tells us, there's a wonderful place called heaven that we should embrace, but there's a horrible place called hell that we don't want to go to. And because of that, Jesus Christ is offering something that's called everlasting life, eternal life. And that's what this man is asking the question. It's a question that was probably asked throughout the ages, discussed amongst the lawyers and the scribes. He says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? So Jesus takes him and points him back to something he knows. Points him to the law, which he supposedly tried to live by. And then he says to him and asks him a question that helps him understand, hey, who is my... It helps him understand that this is not going to work. And this man wants to justify himself. He wants to prove himself innocent. He wants to make himself a case. Hey, I should be able to go to heaven because I try to follow the law. And Jesus says something to him then. He says, who is a neighbor? And then Jesus tells him the story. And this story, you know what it does? It reminds him of something. It reminds him that I'm falling completely short of God's law. I'm falling completely short of treating my neighbor as myself. I'm falling completely short of treating people the way that I want to be treated. And he tells the story that, hey, look, the priest didn't care. The Levite didn't care. The Samaritan didn't care. Now, which one of those were the merciful one? Which one of those was the one treating the neighbor as himself or loving the neighbor as himself? You know, which one of those? And he had to swallow his pride and said, the one that showed him mercy. And he knew in his heart, I wouldn't have done that. He knew it was in his heart, I wouldn't have helped that Samaritan. He knew in his heart that he probably would have been more like the priest, that he probably would have been more like the Levite. He probably would have looked and says, I ain't messing with that. That's not my problem. That's not something I had to deal with. That's not my issue. Why should I mess with that? Christian, I want you to understand, do you want the truth? Because here in this question, this man is asking a question not because he wants the truth. He wants to justify himself. He wants to come to make himself look good. He wants to come to trap Jesus. He doesn't come to the meeting to learn from God. He doesn't come from the meeting to learn about what the Word of God says. He doesn't come to the meeting to learn from Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you today, when you come to church, come to hear the truth. Come to hear what God's Word has to say. Don't try to use the Word of God in a way to justify yourself. Don't try to use the Word of God in a way to try to trap somebody else or try to put somebody else on a pedestal or try to manipulate what you want to be said. Like I said earlier, there are people out there today that are saying they're going to ask questions and they're going to ask hard questions. They're going to ask tough questions. But out there, there are not people really looking for the truth. They're looking to justify themselves. They're looking to make themselves look good. They're looking to make their own movements look good. They're looking to make and have things happen so that way they can justify that what they're doing is innocent and what they're doing is right. But like we learned about in many of the Sunday school classes, anything that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God needs to be cast down. Anything that is a high imagination, and that word imagination refers to the idea that they've come to the wrong conclusion. They've thought about the lies, and because they've come to a certain conclusion, they've now made that an imagination, and that needs to be cast down because it's against the knowledge of God. So when you're out there and you're hearing things that are contrary to the Bible, that's contrary to the Word of God, to what you know about the truth of the Word of God, cast those things down. Bring into captivity every thought into the obedience of Jesus Christ, because this man did not want the truth. I believe the rich young ruler wanted to hear the truth. He heard the truth and he rejected it. But we think about the Philippian jailer as he comes out and he cries out to Paul and Silas, what must I do to be saved? Is a similar question. What do I need to do to have eternal life? And he says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I want you to understand today, do you want the truth? We should live a life today that we want the truth, we desire the truth, and we would not let anything else substitute the truth. This man tried to tempt Jesus by testing him thoroughly. This man tried to justify himself. He's not interested in the truth. But when you come to church, want the truth, desire the truth, love the truth. Don't get mad or angry at the truth. But when you hear it, and when we think about this story today, I think there's so much application to our own hearts. Do you want the truth today, what the Bible says? The Bible says we are supposed to be kind. The Bible says we are supposed to be tenderhearted. The Bible says that we're supposed to be forgiving one another. And you see how God used Abraham and Joseph and Ruth and David and Paul's and Stephen's, because they did not esteem themselves too highly. They were not prideful in themselves. They esteemed others better than themselves, because that was a picture of what Jesus Christ did. And I see what this good Samaritan does, what this Samaritan is willing to do, is a picture of what Christ was willing to do for us. So the first thing is, the reason for the question was, it wasn't about the truth. I think a lot of the garbage that's going on today is not about the truth. There's a lot of justifying of my own self and my own thoughts. But if it exalts itself against the knowledge of God, we need to cast it down. We need to know what truth is. And don't ever get mad at a preacher for preaching the truth. Don't ever get upset when it's something that you might not understand or you might not agree. This lawyer got a lot more than what he thought he was going to hear. He got what he needed to hear. He needed to realize you can't make it on your own. There is no way to get to heaven in your own works and in your own strength. It says, by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Romans 8, verses 3 and 4. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. What it's saying is that Jesus Christ saw our need. God saw our need. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He commendeth his love toward us, and that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. You cannot make it. You cannot get to heaven on your own. That's what this lawyer was saying. And he even tried to justify himself, said, well, who is my neighbor? How can I do that? And I don't even know the answer. The truth is, you cannot live that perfect life. You cannot live a good enough life to be able to get to heaven. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Only Jesus Christ did that. And in our lives, we've got to come to this understanding, I need Jesus Christ to be able to have eternal life. So why did he point him back to the law? It's because the law is something he knew. He was showing him, if it was not for the law, we would not know what's sin and what is not sin. The law teaches him that, and he taught this man this, you're falling short here, you don't even realize it. Today, if you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven, let me encourage you. The Bible says, when the man asks, what must I do to be saved? He says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So it's by putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, realizing that we are sinner and in need of Jesus Christ. For the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So do you want the truth today? And I think our church has always been a place that stands for truth and believes in truth. And most of us say, yes, Pastor, you want the truth. Go ahead, tell us the truth. That's what this man got, was the truth. Now let's look at this story for a second and apply it to our lives, and it might hurt a little bit. Because many of us are like that priest, or like that Levite. We see people that have a need, left half dead by the attacks of the devil. We see people that are hurting. We see people that have definitely spiritual needs. They're all around us. You go sit in Walmart and you watch people walk, you see the anger and the frustration, and well, you can't see it as much more now because they wear masks, but you see the struggles that people are going through, and we like to say things like, hey, that's not my problem. Jesus has called us to be a light in this world. Jesus has given us a great commission. And instead of just walking by and saying, that's not my issue, we need to learn how to start considering what the truth is saying. What Jesus was teaching this same man about, hey, yeah, you might say that you love God, but the proof is loving the neighbor as yourself. See, the man wasn't going to ask the question, well, who's my neighbor, because he's already thinking he loves God the way he should. But Jesus is saying to him, hey, you're missing something here. Because if you love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, you know what you're going to do? You're going to love your neighbor. If you love God the right way, you love God with a passion, you love God the way you should, you know what's going to happen? There's not going to be a problem helping the person that's in need. It's when we struggle to help those and we struggle to be a blessing and encouragement to others that it's not the fact that it's the other's problem. It's the fact that we don't love God the way we should. So the first thing is the purpose of the question. The second thing is Jesus' example. And I think we've already alluded to that a little bit, but think about it. This man here in verse number 33 says, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, and he had compassion on him, and went to him, bound his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto them, take care of him, and whatsoever thou sendest, spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. I know that this is not the perfect example, but it is a picture of Jesus Christ. He saw that we were going to have a need. He knew you before you were ever born. He can see. He knows all things. He saw there was a need. He saw that you're going to someday die and go to a horrible place called hell because of your sins. And because of that, he came to this world. He cared. He had compassion on them. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to see the needs of others and have compassion. But many of us have gotten cold, hard. Many of us have no problem seeing people with needs just sitting right there, and our hearts don't break at all. We can go through the life day by day seeing people that have maybe homosexual tendencies, maybe engulfed in false religions, people that are struggling that because they don't look like us and because they don't act like us. We tend to shy away from them, but Jesus Christ died for the sins of mankind. And we need to do our best to be a light in the dark world. Yes, it's a very dark world, but the darker it is, the brighter the light should shine. Jesus gives an example of how to have compassion. He says in verse 33, he had compassion on him. And if we know that before the foundation of the world, the lamb was slain because of the fact that they knew what was going to happen, what the cost was going to be, they didn't do it for themselves. They did it because they loved us. The third thing I want you to think about, what God wants us to do. What God wants us to do. You look at it says in verses 36 and 37, which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showeth mercy on them, him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do likewise. Now, in verse 27 at the end, it says, thy neighbor as thyself. You read the whole verses, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind. And then it says, and thy neighbor as thyself. So what the scriptures are saying here, and what Jesus is, the point he's getting across is, we're supposed to love others the way that we love ourselves, or the way that we love God. Now, do you want the truth? The truth is, many of us fail at that. Many of us like to pick and choose the people that we're going to help that's struggling. But here, this Samaritan is a picture. The Samaritan should not have cared about the Jew. The Samaritan would have been ostracized. The Samaritan would have never spoken to the Jew. They would have never went into the same house. They would have hated one another. But the story helps us understand it's a group of people that he would not have been comfortable with, but he didn't say that. He saw there was a need, and he says, you know what? The need was more important than my own comfort level. Jesus, when he came to this world, he died for the sins of mankind. It was not easy on him. He was rejected by his own. His own received him not. The truth is, what God wants us to do is to reach out to a lost and dying world. But many of us struggle with that. We like our own windows. We like our own bubble. We like being part of a certain group, but there is a world that is lost and dying that needs Jesus. You think about it. I think about the phrase a little bit, and thy neighbor as thyself. It reminds me of what it says in Matthew 7:12. Therefore, all things whatsoever you do that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is in the law and the prophets. Let me read that again. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. It's saying treat people the way you want to be treated. Let's go back and let's paint the picture. If you were the one lying there, would you want help? The answer would be yes. If it was your child lying there, would you want help? The answer would be yes. If it was your mother or father lying there, would you want help? The answer would be yes. So if we're supposed to treat others the way that we want to be treated, we're failing at that a lot. And we need to work on that. But where does it come back to? Loving the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, all our strength, all our mind. I want to encourage you today, when this man was trying to trap Jesus and trying to make Jesus look bad, God had the perfect answer. Jesus had the perfect answer. He said to him, you know what? Well, what do you think? How do you think you have eternal life? So this, this, and this. And love thy neighbor as thyself. Okay, now here's the story. You failed. You can't do this on your own. You can't get to heaven on your own. Now, Jesus gives an example of how a person is going to demonstrate love and how a person is going to demonstrate what others can do for others. You say, Pastor, I don't feel really comfortable helping other people out. And I know there's a lot of bad people out there. I know a lot of people that try to connive and a lot of people that try to steal, a lot of people. And you need to be led by the Lord when you're helping other individuals. But I think many of us would be the person that just kind of walks by. And it's sort of like those people when there's a car accident, it slows down because everybody wants to stare at the car as they're riding by. And it's sort of like that's what we do. It's what the Levite does. We go and look. Oh, that's a shame. But we keep on walking. That's what Jesus is saying. That's not the way you'd want to be treated. And I know it's a challenging thought, and I know it breaks down to a lot of different areas. You know, do we really treat our wives the way we want to be treated? Do we treat our husbands the way we want to be treated? Do we treat our children? Do we treat our neighbors? There are so many things. That is an overwhelming message. But that's love thy neighbor as thyself. He's like, oh, who's my neighbor? And it's not about, you know, the person that lives next to you. It's the person that's in trouble. It's interesting. He says, the man says to him, "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus responds and says in verse 36, "Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him?" It's not about, hey, where do I live at? And I got to be nice to this person, nice to this person, this person across the street, but they're two houses down. They're not technically my neighbor. I don't have to be friendly to them. That's missing the whole point. That's what Jesus says. Who, he says, was the neighbor unto him? Who was the person that was willing to help that person that was struggling, that needed help? So it's not about a location. It's about being willing to help. And I want us to give this because it's such an important lesson, and it's something that many of us struggle with. We don't treat others the way we want to be treated. And Jesus is teaching this man, you're not going to make it to heaven on your own. You're not fulfilling the law. You might think you're doing okay, but you're missing a really big part. Do you want the truth? And the truth is, Jesus gave us a perfect example about loving those that were unlovable, loving those that did not deserve it. Sometimes we feel like when God got us, we got something special. No, no, we're all sinners. We're all lost. We all need him. We're nothing without him. And if he didn't get anything special, we got something special when we received him. But many times we feel like there's something special about us. No. And that's what the story goes along. The priest, they should have helped. The Levite, they should have helped. It took someone that wasn't supposed to help that really made the difference. So tonight, the message for this morning is about the lost and dying world. All around us, there's people that are, they use the term half dead. There are people that are on the cusp of eternity, dying and going to hell, but someone can show them the truth and maybe they would respond and they would believe. Are we walking past those that have needs and just walking right by them and saying, that's not my problem? Now, tonight's message is going to be about amongst brethren, about people inside the church, how we should treat those the way we want to be treated, and how be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ for God's sake, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. There's some truth that's there. And this message is, the first point was, what was the question is because we need to hear the truth. Do you want to hear the truth? A lot of us are missing that. We don't mind helping certain people. If that was a priest that was there, the priest probably would have helped. If that was another Levite that was there, the Levite might have helped. But because of the fact it was someone they did not know, it's not my problem. It's just not written in the scriptures that way. Do we want the truth? The answer is yes, we want the truth. That's why we come to a church like this. We want the truth. We need to work on it. That's the truth. I need to work on it. Many of us need to work on how to treat. Who is my neighbor? Who's the person that's in need around you? Are you willing to help? This morning, do you know Christ as your personal Savior? If you die today, are you sure that you would go to heaven? Just a second, we're going to have an invitation. The invitation is to invite people forward and come to the altar, or if you'd like to come up front. If you don't know Christ, we'd love to show you from the Bible what the Bible says, how you can inherit eternal life. The lawyer's question was to tempt. The lawyer's question was to justify, but you can know that. It can be a possession of yours if you'd like to give your heart over to the Lord today. And to those that are believers in the room, do we really love their neighbor as ourselves? Those are one of the things that we don't want to think about because it means that we have to change so much of our lives. It means we have to actually look at how the way I treat somebody else and say, am I doing the way the way that God would want me to? Am I responding the way that the Lord would want to? If that was me laying there, or my family laying there, or my loved one laying there, wouldn't I want someone to help? The answer is yes. Let's not just walk by anymore. Let's let God work in our hearts about treating others the way we want to be treated and having compassion. That's where I think one of the key words there is. He felt the other person's need. He had compassion on them. And you can dive into the Bible and you look at the oil and the wine and you talk about how the binding of the wounds like the Holy Spirit can do and all those different things. It's a great, there's a lot of wonderful things in there, But the question is, are we loving our neighbor as ourselves? Most of us have to say, that's something I need to work on. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. Thank you for the story. Without this story, we probably wouldn't know that we need to treat others the way we want to be treated. Without this story, we wouldn't be recognize the fact that we're walking past people that need us every day without even giving any thought of being caring or concerned. Lord, give us a heart like yours. Give us a heart to have compassion on others. Give us a heart to desire to want to see other people to Christ. Give us a heart not to just walk by people, but instead to be available and ready to be used. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for giving us that example. Lord, we were unlovely. We were unworthy. We did not deserve the love and the fact that you died on the cross for us. Lord, if there's someone here today that has that question and has never answered it for themselves, what must I do to inherit eternal life, or what must I do to be saved? God, speak to their hearts. Show their need. Help them to understand they're not going to make it on their own, but you provided a way. In Jesus' name, amen.